and also to our delegation from the Department of Tourism, particularly our Director General there. We want to say that we are indeed grateful for this opportunity to prepare ourselves for the budget vote. We are working on a very tight schedule, and I am so grateful that we have people here who, if you're in tourism, you don't like boardrooms, you prefer the open environment. Colleagues, I need to write on the offset, as I welcome you, need to state that there is a leader of the NCOP that actually served us as our chief whip in the last term that has passed away. We remember her. We have paid our respect to her in the NCOP, and if I'm not doing it here, it's not out of a lack for that respect, but because we've done it there. The point that I'm ever trying to make with that is that three of the members of the Select Committee will be paying homage to the family, and they have requested to be recused from this meeting at 20 to 12, because there will be transport outside taking them there, which means that if we look at our time now, it's 10 past 11, so we have like 1.5 hours. Pietra has informed me that the delegation from the Department of Tourism is looking at presenting to us just under an hour. Am I right, DG?
If it lets your instruction, we would oblige.
we will appreciate you accommodating us. I mean, we can go on with a meeting, but I don't think it is fair to the members that need to leave us. And we say that's two excuses in life that we'll always accept. The one is when your child is born, and the other one is when your grandmother passes on. And in this instance, it's one of our grandmothers that have passed on. So it is one of those excuses that we, irrespective of what our cultural traditions are, we would accept. But colleagues, before we give to the Department of Tourism to do the presentation, I just want to hold before you the minute of our last meeting. You are right, Secretary, you have given this to me yesterday. So I trust that everybody else has also had an opportunity to browse through it already. We did say to the Secretary that this is not a minute, it is minutes, and I commended him that he did it how I would have done it. But we will, however, in the next minute, not have this elaborate minute to you. There was nothing controversial in it. On page 1, we basically have the list of attendees. On page 2, we have the opening remarks. We adopted the minutes of the last meeting, and then we had the elaborate and excellent presentation by the Department of Trade and Industry, where it is under 2.2.1, the economic review, under 2.2.2, the overview of key priorities, and then under 3, they presented to us the budget. All of us would remember the way in which they had prepared that for us. They made it very easy to read. And the DG, Mr. October, presented it to us also with his staff. Then item 4 was the deliberations that we had in the committee and comments. I can recall that in the deliberations there was nothing that particularly worried us. And I'm going to need my honourable members to just verify for me that if there are any of the comments that you made, concerns that you raised, that they are addressed under point 4. If there ain't any, I would love to request that we get a proposal for the acceptance of the minutes. Mr. Suka, and he's seconded by Honorable Mukebe. Thank you very much. That completes the minutes. I have a list of the delegation from the Department of Tourism, but the protocols are normally that the leader will introduce the rest of the team members. I also have before me a formal apology from the Minister, Honorable Derek Hanekom, and I've raised it with the chairperson of our Economics Committee when we meet on Tuesdays, to say that as this Committee on Trade and International Relations, we will consistently be inconvenienced if we continue to meet on Wednesdays, because Cabinet also meets on Wednesdays. So we may have to, for some of our meetings, look at altering the dates so that we can accommodate the ministers. I think we recognize the importance of having the executive and doing oversight on the executive, and therefore the importance of engaging formally in the select committee with the members of the executive. But for now, as we are still in the beginning stages of our 5 years, I am still negotiating with the ministers in terms of their availability. But I would doubt if there's any objections to the apology from Minister Hanekom not to be with us today. Can I then, with that, immediately hand over? And we are in your hands. I'm just reminded the apology includes the Deputy Minister. For those who do not know, each Deputy Minister class. We are honored to have a Director General that is also an ambassador. So, Ambassador Makubela, can we hand over the proceedings now to you? And thanks very much for leading us.
Jefferson, thank you very much. Would you prefer that we first introduce ourselves? Maybe you know people sitting around here. If you would indulge in that, Chairperson, I would first introduce myself, and I always prefer to start my left. My name is Kinsley Makubela, and I'm the Director General of the Department.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Victor Tarage. I'm Deputy Director General responsible for Policy and Knowledge Services.
Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Moronga Rampile, DDG for Domestic Tourism Management.
Good morning, Honorable Members. I'm Annemie Milan. I'm the DDG for International Tourism Management.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Members. A privilege to be here. My name is Hanalie Terron, and I'm the Acting Chief Director of Communications.
Good morning, Chairperson, good morning, Members. I'm Ralph Ackerman, I'm the Chief Financial Officer.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Namza Mubengo. I'm the Chief Director responsible for Business Performance Management and Cabinet and Cluster Coordination.
Talk fast because
you're very unhandled. Honorable Minister Tom Skalkreig, I'm the Chief Operation Officer of the National Department.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I'm sorry, can we also have the support staff? And then we're going to give an opportunity just to the colleagues at the back so that we all know who is here.
Good morning, I'm Pietra van Niekerk. I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Director General's Office.
Morning, Honourable Members.
My name is Sharma Natu. I'm the parliamentary officer in Minister's Office. Thank you.
Good morning, members. My name is Sibongile Maputi. I'm media officer to the committee. Sorry, ma'am, I didn't get that.
Yes, sir. I never knew we had a media officer. We can start a tourism entity.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. My name is Kabelo Makisha. I'm here from the Auditor General, based here in Cape Town.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. I'm Yuan Nicholas from Priority Consulting.
Can you repeat it up, Rob? The gentleman, I don't think I can repeat it.
I'm Yuan Nicholas from Polarity Consulting.
In the first meeting that he had, he was present with his better half, who's in the same consulting agency, so he's not a stranger observing the proceedings.
Good morning, I'm Abdullah Hanif, the committee researcher.
Good morning, I'm Mr. Amy Rasmus, I'm committee section.
Good morning, my name is Kavedam Delaney, I'm the committee secretary.
Good morning, my name is Relevance Zimashilela, the content advisor.
Sorry, Ambassador. Yours now. Chairperson, thank you very much. I think a lot of details we would do as time goes on. I understand that we don't have enough time now to better introduce ourselves to the honorable members, but I'm delighted that we have two members who were in the previous Select Committee, Honorable Dikali and Honorable Salingan, and they provided very valuable support to us during the previous term. And let me start by really indicating, Chairperson, our commitment around here as management to work very well with this Select Committee. And then we'll be always available, be at your disposal to give you whatever information that you may require. We all understand the important role that you play as members of the legislature, so we'll be more than happy to provide you with all the details. I understand this is our first engagement, and my understanding is that we would keep on having a lot of interaction as time goes on. But, Chairperson, we would suggest that maybe the different managers who are heading different programs in the departments are the one who runs the presentations to the committee. But let me start by indicating that we have four branches in the department. The COO here, he has our Program 1 branch that deals essentially with administration and will take us through some of the key functions that they perform. And Victor here, he's responsible for policy and knowledge management services within the department. They do the research, do policy formulations. Because tourism has both definition of the domestic and the international tourist, and we play in both the domestic and international space, we have a branch that deals with international tourism, and this branch deals essentially with policy and key strategic issues, identifying what our competitive thing, what our policy imperatives that we need to implement in order to try to attract the 1 billion tourists that are around now to get our fair market share. So this is where analysis are done in terms of developing appropriate policies. Then we have a branch that deals with the domestic tourism. It essentially looks at how can we compete in the domestic space. Honorable Chair, honorable members, you realize that most very stable markets, I'm talking tourism markets, you would find that they're anchored on the domestic tourism, the very strong component of domestic tourism. The Chinese, for instance, about 98% of their tourists are essentially domestic, and they generate close to 3 trillion rands in revenue with respect to domestic tourism. The United States, similarly, has very high percentage of domestic tourism, so domestic tourism is essentially important.
So this is where we do our work in terms of our own coordination with local government, with provincial governments, and so on. But these are the two areas of operation where we find ourselves. Let me hasten to say from the beginning that the international tourism branch, it has no deal with marketing. The marketing function is essentially dealt by South African tourism. But this branch deals with policy formulation, as I indicated. So their function is totally distinct from that of South African tourism, and as we deal with issues, we'd understand what the functions are. There are indeed areas of synergies between this branch and some of the function in SHE, because SHE remains our entity. They do what we want as a department to do. We transfer more than 75% of our budgets to SHE to do marketing, so you would understand why we keep a tight hold on SAT. Chairperson, we currently have about 544 posts that are funded in the department. We have 97 posts that are not funded. And those posts that are not funded, we're going to fund them because we just created a restructure at the department in the last 2 years, and we agreed on incremental funding and filling of posts within this branches, particularly our international branch. It was not there before. It was only an entity that dealt with international relations. But as I indicated, because we need to play in that international space, the projection of the growth of tourism between now and 2030 is 1.8 billion people who will be traveling around. So there's a need for us to develop concrete policies to ensure that we get better market share of this 1.8 billion people be traveling around the world. So that's where a lot of work is done. Chairperson, if you may indulge, I'll then first request Ms. Bengu. Ms. Bengu, she deals with basically evaluation of and monitoring of our performance. We call her in the department our Chapter 9 institution. She remains very independent to a lot of branches in terms of the opinion that she raises about the performance, looking at the evidence and doing detailed analysis of the department's performance. So she has more powers. I usually say she has more powers even than the Director General, because when she calls something that it has never been done, as long as the evidence is not given, she deals with it. She also looks at the risk that we have in the department. She deals with risk that we have in the department, doing analysis of this risk that we are having in the department. If you may, Chairperson, our first request that she takes us through a brief briefing, and after that we can then allow different line managers who are dealing with the four programs to provide the briefing, and after that we'll be more than happy to interact with members of the committee. We have addressed the concern that you have serious time constraints, and our colleagues are very cognizant of that. But without trying to shortchange you, we'll give you details that are really required at this stage. But our understanding is that it's work in progress. We'll keep on interacting with this committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Can I get a system? It's not moving. Okay. It's not moving. Do you have a hand copy? Maybe I can wait for my hand copy. Has a vision to be a catalyst for tourism growth and development in South Africa. We want to do this by creating a conducive environment for growing and developing tourism in a manner that is innovative, using strategic partnerships, collaborating, providing information and knowledge management service to the sector, and strengthening institutional capacity within the department. And also, like, to... Oh, there you go. Now we go. Thank you. that's from the screen. Should I start again?
You should have raised your hand earlier. Maybe you were holding it.
Yes. No. We are just on the first content slide, really. If I should go back, this is the title slide. This is our vision, to catalyze the growth and development of tourism in South Africa. And we want to do that in a manner that is innovative, using our strategic partnerships and collaborations. And we want to provide an information and knowledge management service for the sector and to strengthen institutional capacity. We are driven by the following values with regard to performance. We want to be innovative, we want to be ethical, and we want to have a customer focus. With regard to our people, we want to empower our own to act with integrity at all times and to recognize performance and reward it accordingly. We are mandated with effect from this financial year by the Tourism Act of 2014, and we still work with the white paper on development and promotion of tourism, which was adopted in 1996. We have the National Tourism Sector Strategy, which provides a blueprint for the tourism sector, and we are driven as well by the National Development Plan, which recognizes tourism as one of the main drivers of employment and economic growth in South Africa. In this financial year, the main policy initiatives planned for this year relate to the development of regulatory frameworks in line with the new Tourism Act, relating to the tourist guiding and the collection of business information. We will also develop norms and standards for visitor information services, and we will review the tourism BBBE code, sector code, in line with the new revision of the relevant transformation act. The department has developed goals aligned to the government outcomes. With regards to administration and how we use public resources, we want to achieve good corporate governance, a good corporate and cooperative governance, where we provide a comprehensive corporate support service to the department to ensure good governance. This area is led by the COO, and we align ourselves to the national outcome on an efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service. We want also to integrate tourism priorities within the private sector stakeholders and the three government spheres to ensure that the tourism agenda is recognized and supported appropriately by all our stakeholders as well as the three spheres of government. We want to improve the level of competitiveness and sustainability in the tourism sector, and this includes promoting responsible tourism best practices to inculcate the culture of responsible tourism in South Africa. We align this to the growing the contribution of tourism to inclusive economic growth in South Africa. And we want to improve tourism sector knowledge services, and we also want to improve the contribution of tourism to inclusive economic growth, as well as strengthen regional Africa and international collaboration and partnerships to drive South Africa's tourism agenda. We align ourselves in this instance to the national outcome of creating a better South Africa and contributing to a better and safer Africa in a better world. We have done an exercise to assess the risks that our objectives are exposed to, and to highlight just a few that we think are quite significant. We are conscious of the possible effects of non-availability of infrastructure and systems, and if I may just explain, the risk that we have identified may not have necessarily materialized, but it is to say that we should be taking preemptive actions to ensure that these risks do not materialize. And if we were to, if under administration we are conscious of the IT risk, because we consider IT as an enabler of business, and we use IT systems and programs to ensure that we are able to deliver our services quicker and better to our clients. So under administration, the key risks relate to availability of IT infrastructure and systems. And we also are conscious that should we not be able to comply with the performance management guidelines as expressed in government documents like the Public Finance Management Act and others, we would not be able to deliver on our mandates and the compliance risk in our minds relates to the intention of the prescribed rather than compliance for the sake of compliance. So if we were to not comply with the performance management guidelines, for instance, we would not therefore be able to deliver on our instructions drawn from the various mandating documents. And we want to also manage our finances in such a manner that we do not have material misstatements in our disclosure notes to financial statements. If I may just skip to slide 11, under policy and knowledge services, we want to ensure compliance, we want to ensure that the risk of non-compliance with tourist guiding legislation and regulation is managed in the sense that for us, tourist guiding is a huge contributor to the quality of service that we are able to provide to the tourists who visit in the country and from outside into the country. And therefore, if we have this level of compliance, a level of compliance with tourist guiding legislation, we can assure our clients that the service they receive is of quality. We also want to ensure that the responsible tourist standards are complied with. Also, it's an issue of quality and an issue of sustainability in this instance. And if we have ineffective stakeholder engagement structures, I mean, tourism relies a lot on other portfolios that are not necessarily within the control of our minister. And therefore, we want to ensure that our stakeholder engagement structures, including with private sector, are effective so that our agenda is moved forward. Under international tourism, we are conscious that should we not implement and monitor international agreements that we have entered into, it may impact on our ability to use those platforms to drive our tourism agenda. We are also conscious that should we enter into, should we participate in multilateral organizations in a manner that is inadequate, it would defeat our intentions of participating in those ones. So we then take mitigating actions that allow us to effectively participate in those. And under domestic tourism, should we have a domestic tourism growth strategy, which the DDG may speak to in further detail, but should we have other impacting governments and other portfolios not aligned to this agenda, it may defeat our intention of growing the domestic tourism strategy, of growing domestic tourism for South Africa. So we have mitigating actions in that regard as well to ensure that we are all speaking the same language with all the contributing spheres in other portfolios. There is a real risk of theft, fraud, and mismanagement of projects that we are funding, and we have mitigating actions in that regard as well to ensure that the public resources that we use are not inappropriately used. And for me, that's the initial part of the strategy. Then the line functions then take up the relevant actions to implement our goals.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Chair. We'll be moving to the hot seat. Program one is the program that's dealing with administration, provides strategic leadership, centralized administration, executive support, and corporate affairs, which deals with the ministry, the deputy ministry, the DG's office, HR, corporate affairs, communications, the CFO's office, internal audit. Program 1 is more related to compliance issues, where we need to sort of deliver on certain prescripts as defined by government. The first one is achieve good cooperative governance. In this one is the number of strategic development documents developed and implemented, like the ones we're presenting now, our quarterly reviews that needs to go to Treasury, that needs to go to the presidency on our commitments as far as government is concerned, aligned with the outcomes. The second one is to provide effective organization performance management. This is where we report into the systems, review of our strategic plans, our quarterly risk mitigation reports that we submit to the audit and the risk committees.
Then the next one is to provide effective organizational performance management systems. That is the entity foresight and cabinet coordination. Foresight being the body that's dealing with the director generals are meeting, and that fits into our ultimate cabinet coordination system. In this one, review implementation protocols that we make sure that we deliver within the timelines and meeting our in the necessary requirements. And then is the oversight on South African tourism, being the entity from the department, the responsibilities also vested within this branch. Then the sense is complying with legal services litigation protocols. As far as our corporate legal support is concerned, we've developed specific litigation protocols and service charters to ensure that we've got a specific turnaround time when something comes in that we comply. If you've got even labor cases, that needs to manage into that sort of prescript. So all of that are documented and that can be effectively monitored. The sentence of tourism compliance referred to now, the new act that came into force on the 16th of July has created a new section in the act for us to deal with tourist complaints. In the past, in the previous act, it was not that sort of specific, so that function has been allocated to the Chief Director of Legal Services, and we've got a director that deals with this issue so that we have set up a proper mechanism to deal with tourism complaints. And it's only us dealing with the complaints and they get it into the right domains as DTI are the overall custodian for this matters. Then provide a capable and skilled workforce. We as a department has put a target for ourselves, in the words of the DG, as a stretch target for us to sort of have a vacancy rate of 8% at least. The reason being is that we believe this is where we need to make a difference, although the government-wide target is 12%, knowing that you have to go through a process. And I can say that I think in the last financial year we achieved 8.6%, so I think we're really moving on this matter. Then we've got percentage representativity of designated groups, maintain a minimum of 50% women representativity, maintain a minimum of 5% disability rate. If you recall that in accordance with the labor relations, the requirement is that 2% of your workforce should be people falling within the disability or people with disabilities. Now, we as a department set a higher standard for ourselves because we're also driving universal accessibility as a department in the tourism and make sure that we believe we need to sort of lead on that one. And then a minimum of 8-9% black representation. All of this are aligned with the prescripts and the legislative requirements, but we set a higher target around disability and vacancy rate. Then the implementation of our performance management system, and then we say we need to implement 100% in accordance with the prescript defined by the DPSA. We've got implementation of our work skills plan that is linked to our performance agreements, linked to our work plans, and for us to implement all those requirements to make sure that we upskill our workforce. The sense is compliance with labor relations. In this case, is for us to make sure that we comply with the prescripts legislation and that we deal with all the relevant issues being grievances, misconduct, disputes, collective bargaining, all of those sort of issues are done within the guidelines laid down by legislation. And then the number of employment health and wellness programs, also in accordance with the directives of the DPSA, for us to have 4 employment health and wellness programs facilitated throughout the year. Provide and maintain measures to protect people, property and information. It's the number of security risks, threats and risk assessments. We conduct 4 of those during the year. In collaboration with NIA and with SAPS to make sure that our department are on standard and that our facility complies with the standards. Provide effective government information technology. We've got tools that 79% uptime. We allow only 3% service time for ourselves. And then for us to implement the new information communication strategic plan that that has been approved by Cabinet. Number of quarterly and annual financial statements. This is talking to the financiers. We need to submit quarterly statements into the National Treasury. We also need to comply with our annual financial statements, those that have been under scrutiny at this stage with the AG, and which as a committee we will present, or as a department we will present to the committee soon our annual report for the 13-14 financial year. Percentage expenditure, so this is the broad-based black economic empowerment. We've also lifted that performance indicator into our SPAD plan to make sure that we are in compliance with the amendment of the Act and that we only utilize contributors 1 to 8 in the services that have been rendered by private sector. Provide effective internal audit services. So this is where we develop our annual interim audit plans and we make sure that we comply 100% on delivery of internal audit plan. Then we develop a communication strategy. The implementation of our communication strategy related to us delivery on the mandates of government, also be guided by GCIS, but more specific link to the national department's requirements. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Member, thank you. Problem 2, Policy and Knowledge Services, deals with sector policy development, policy evaluation, research, knowledge management, promotion of transformation within the sector, and responsible tourism. Related to the policy work and integrated planning, one of the things we're going to be doing is the training of local government practitioners, these are officials, but also the training of local government policymakers, essentially councillors that have got work that pertains to tourism function. We are also going to be hosting a local government conference, which is going to take place in February 2015. Other work pertaining to the policy related work, we are with the new Tourism Act, we are going to develop the regulations for tourist guiding. They will be prioritized because of the nature of the work that is the main regulated function in the sector. We are also, Honourable Chairperson, with regards to the promotion of responsible tourism best practices, we are going to, we've been doing some work with provinces, and with regards to the work that we're doing with provinces, we're looking at the extent to which people with disability are able to access parks and so on, and the readiness of those provincial parks. So we're going to have a report with regards to that, which will then inform what we'll do going forward with those parks. We have the National Tourism Sector Strategy, and this is a cabinet document. We will have a report on its implementation, but we will also have a report on the state of tourism in general, which provides a lot of details about what is going on within the sector. We have also been doing some work with regards to, and it's still in the research phase, but we are looking at the sustainability of tourism activities that used to take place within a particular land setting, if there has been a settlement of a land claim within that particular context. So that would give us understanding of whether there is work that we can do within that or not. We are also, in the knowledge management area, there are two main things that we'll be focusing on. One is a database of visitor information center across the country, where are they and how can people actually access them and so on. The next one will also be the tourist guiding database, in the main that we should be able to know where the guides are, what are their competencies and so on and so forth. We also have a program sort of, I wouldn't call it a project, which looks at information gateways. Basically, these chapters in information centers that are at ports of entry, and they assist deterrence in terms of being able to find the immediate information that they require, but it is information about the entire country, not just about where they are located. We already have one that is in our temple. We would encourage honorable members to make use of the facility on the international side should they actually find themselves in there. We have a memorandum of understanding with five universities, and we do a number of researches with these universities. The universities are University of Pretoria, University of Johannesburg, University of Zululand, and University of Venda, as well as the Cape Peninsula University of Technology. The current studies that we're looking into, we're looking at service excellence, we're looking at cross-border tourist guiding events and impact evaluation of different events that the country hosts, competitiveness in terms of the destination, religious tourism, and the discourse. We will be very soon releasing the draft alignment between the DGI generic course of good practice for BEE, for broad-based black economic empowerment, and that work process should be completed in time to submit to the Minister of the DGI so that we are able to start implementation May 2015 as per the directive from DGI. We are also looking at how feasible is it to actually create a database of small suppliers that could actually work with big business, with the understanding of what are the needs of big tourism players in as far as procurement and the entire value chain is concerned. So that is work that we'll be doing as well as part of enterprise development. That is all from us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Program 3 deals with international tourism management, and I think DG in his introduction already alluded to the purpose of this branch. The work that we are doing essentially under three objectives, and I will allude to that in my presentation. All the work that we are doing is our goal around this is to increase the contribution of the tourism sector to economic, to inclusive economic growth that deals to GDP, deals with GDP contribution as well as job creation. Our branch's first objective looks at international tourism market analysis to inform strategic interventions. What it in essence deals with is with research-based information when we develop new potential markets. Under this PPI, we are looking at a number of response plans or a number of plans that we believe will unlock potential. The first one deals with sport tourism. The second one deals with the more in-depth market penetration in the Americas. And the third one deals with strategic interventions in a number of regions or countries where we feel there is potential that we can unlock. The second PPI under this objective deals to the initiatives that we facilitate to institutionalize tourism in our missions, in South Africa's missions abroad. In essence, we are working very, very closely with DIRCO and all our missions abroad as we as tourism department do not have employees around the world. And as part of missions performance plans is to promote South Africa as a preferred tourism destination. But because they are diplomats, they do not fully understand the value of tourism. And what we are in essence doing is to institutionalize and build capacity. And in this PPI, we are looking we are continuing the work that we are doing with DIRCO as part of economic diplomacy training for officials that are placed within our missions, and we are also providing marketing collateral to our missions in foreign languages. Our second objective deals with to reduce barriers to tourism growth, to enhance tourism competitiveness. That's where we look at the barriers that can impact on our competitiveness as a destination. The first PPI and the RAD objective looks at the number of initiatives that will reduce these barriers. And what we are looking at is to develop a policy direction to be proactive when we report on our segmented tourism market. The second initiative looks at an assessment of our potential, of the potential for tourism in positioning South Africa as an aviation hub for the Southern Corridor, to see how that can enhance tourism's competitiveness. Our third and last objective looks at how we use bilateral and multilateral engagements to advance the tourism national, regional, Africa and global agenda. And we are looking into the number of strategic national priorities facilitated to implement the agreements that we signed. This is where we link the agreements that we signed with countries around the world to our national priorities to make sure that we drive the national priorities through those platforms. We are specifically this year looking at regional integration and training, and under regional integration we are hosting a capacity building workshop specifically on grading and statistics for African countries that we signed agreements on, and then we are also reviewing the implementation of the Indaba's expansion policy. Under training, we are developing a framework for international placement, for skills development, because there are a number of training opportunities and we need to look into a framework for those. The last PPI is the number of national priorities that we drive through our strategic engagements in multilateral fora. Our minister participates in a number of these fora, as well as departmental officials, and we want to make sure that we also drive our national priorities through those. And this year we are looking specifically into regional integration, and we are developing our policy position on tourism when it comes to the SADC, the Southern African Development Community, and the African Union, and how we can drive Africa tourism in Africa through the region. Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Mayor.
Thanks very much.
Good morning once more, Honourable Members. I'm going to present on the domestic tourism management. Before going into the details, I'd like to indicate how the branch is structured. We are focused on provinces. We have two regions, the southern region as well as the northern region. In the south, we have four provinces, all the Cape plus Free State, and the remaining will go into the northern region. Then we have SRI, which is our EPWP program, which will be looking into the infrastructure development as well as training, especially for our young people. And then we have an incentive program, which is going to kick off this financial year. We have our strategic objective being to implement tourism growth and development strategies in order to increase tourism's contribution to inclusive economic growth. The programs that we are going to run in order for us to achieve that, we have the first one being the National Tourism Career Expo, which is a program that is mainly geared towards attracting learners to be attracted to the sector tourism. Normally, we are running this 3 years in a row within a province. We started in 2008 in KZN. For the past 2 years, we've been in the Eastern Cape. This is the last year for Eastern Cape, and we'll be moving into another province in the coming year. We also are
online through the MCCE, we have educator seminars, basically to share information with our educators. Because what we have realized is that our educators were not trained to deal with the tourism and hospitality issues. So we are filling that gap by making sure that they understand what it is that they need to impart to our learners. At the same time, we have partnered with Umalusi as well as the CAPSITA in trying to assess the curriculum so that they'll be able to, whatever that they train is what the industry really wants. We have Tourism Month, which we normally celebrate annually in September, observing the UNWTO as a member state to that. So we'll be hosting the Tourism Month this year in Northern Cape, and the theme is Tourism and Community Development. Within that month, we also do activities which will be making sure that we create awareness, we impart information, and we try to get the feet to the less visited provinces, which are six, excluding the three, which is Western Cape, KZN, as well as Gauteng. Provinces also do their own mini within their provinces tourism month. And this year we're saying we tend to forget our internal staff when it comes to celebration of tourism. So that's what we are going to try to push this year, and the same will be done with other provinces as well. We have service excellence. We have a standard that was done in 2012 to ensure that within the sector we give service that will make people to keep on coming again and again. Currently we are piloting in Upington. As a small town, we felt that we need to rally and get everybody within the value chain to understand the service excellence issues, and it's something that is really bearing fruit as we speak. The police are in the pick and pace. Everybody in the town is being rallied to make sure that we give the service that is good. Besides that, we have a strategy which will be drilling into other areas as well, the research issues, the issues of upskilling the people, the public awareness, and making sure that we come up with a tool where entities will be able to self-assess themselves if their service levels are of good standard. If not, then they'll be able to improve on that. We have, when we started in 2012 using the new structure, we had to profile provinces in order to understand what is it that is potential within their respective areas. And we have been coming up with what we call a support package, which consists of various projects within that package in order to give support to a province. We've been doing capacity building within the poverty nodes, that is Umkhanyakude, that is the Vembe, as well as the Bushbuck Ridge, wherein we make sure that the business, the community, the municipality, we create a platform for them to be able to engage so that they will be able to understand their area in terms of potential. At the same time, last year we assessed the 8 World Heritage Sites. And out of the assessment, what came out very strongly was the issue of signage in terms of where these sites are, as well as interpreting what is within those sites. For this year, we'll be going to the 4 sites in terms of helping them to come up with interpretive signage. And we have a new incentive program, which we will be launching this year. Basically, we'll be looking into the market access for established entities as well as the emerging ones, where we have categorized those who will be going to international markets as well as those who will be looking into the domestic sphere. And over the years, we'll be phasing in other areas for us to incentivize. We still have a partnership with Tourism Enterprise, where they are assisting us to deal with the rural issues, to also help the previously disadvantaged entities to be capacitated on business areas so that they are able to
to be business oriented. These are the figures that we will be doing this year. On the rural enterprises, we'll be looking into 489 for those that we'll be supporting in terms of growing. In mentorship wise, it will be 34, and there will be a number of businesses, 450 actually for market access, and the HDE, it will be 1,263, and the ones that will be helping them to come up with the website and the likes, it will be 975. And in terms of the jobs to be developed, it will be 2,475. And on our EPWP is mainly the number of jobs that we will be creating, which will be 4,369 this year. These figures also are inclusive of the training in terms of the chefs, in terms of the hospitality things that you are doing with our young people. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Now we come to a very interesting part. Yeni.
Thank you, Chair. I fully agree with you. This is the most interesting part.
I said very, not very.
From the figures here, you can see that our budget is 1.6 billion. Of which 221.8 million goes to administration. Our policy knowledge services gets an allocation of 925 million. The reason why this is so high, if we go to the detail, you will see that the transfer payment to SA Tourism is included under this program. Our international tourism, 51.9 million. And then our domestic tourism, which include our SRI projects as well as our tourism incentive program, is 463 million. The next slide is just a breakdown of economic classifications, where you can see that our compensation of employees is 14% and our goods and services is 8.8%. Now, in ideal world, your compensation of employees and your goods and services should be a ratio of 1 to 1, more or less. And you can see that our goods and services is much lower than our compensation of employees. Our transfer payments, as the DG also indicated, is 1.2 billion, is 76.6% of our budget. Program 1, you can just see the breakdown between them. Between the different sub-programs, so ministry, the management, corporate affairs, and then office accommodation, and this gives you a total of 221.8 million. I'm not going to go through the detail of the breakdowns of the economic classification under the policy and research. There you can see our contribution to SA Tourism is 876.3 million. In this instance, it's 94.7% of this program's budget. The international, there you can see the breakdown between the different sub-programs. This is the management, then the Americans, the Caribbean, Europe, Africa, Middle East, and then Asia and Australasia. And that gives you a total of 51.9 million. Then the one that the domestic tourism, there you can see the southern region and the northern region, which is our provinces. The allocations which I get is 13.2 million and 16.6 million. And then obviously our social responsibility implementation, our expanded public works program, 359.9 million. And then we've also got the strategic partners in tourism, that is our tourism enterprise program. That is 23 million rand, which is also a transfer payment. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Thanks very much. DJ, we are reaping what we have asked for. It was presented to us in record time, and we thank you for that. can we allow you, DJ, if there would be anything else that you'd want to add before we give over to members of the nothing. Now, we are asking members of the, or requesting members of the Select Committee, please, to introduce yourselves so that the other members here would also be able to know who it is that they are talking to. We are also asking you to, because of our questions, try and be as brief as you possibly can. Thank you very much. I assume that there's another chairperson that would ask you to speak. This time I'm not going to mention your names. Or should I? No, I shouldn't. Let me do it. Honorable Van Lengen, Honorable Sugar, Honorable Tebe, let's have a thing and see that in good space.
Thank you, Sir Tassin. My name is Lito, my surname is Soka. I come from the Eastern Cape PE. I must also say that chairperson I did once, and though I was not a member, I attended the last some conference in PE on tourism, where the former minister and the deputy were in attendance at that conference. Chairperson, I must appreciate the presentation led by the DG on this department, which is a very strategic department. When we talk of the GDP of the country, its contribution, I think they play a very significant role in that regard. I might not have the figures now in terms of their contribution on the GDP, but surely they make a very significant contribution, especially when you measure that with the tourists, because their graphs go always up. And must pardon me, it's my first time. I'm not part of this committee, but I'm going to try to learn very fast. My advice, rather not witness advice, or request to the department. I would want them to improve on the issue of advocacy about this department. Advocacy. You should not always lean towards those that have knowledge or the advantage. They should try to improve on that. There's a huge potential, especially to those areas on the which borders the coastal line of South Africa. There should be an effort in that regard, the advocacy. There are many ways to do that, so that we educate the nation about the importance of this department. I understand that they also mentioned the question of programs for the learners. Surely to cut across South Africa. That's why I'm saying the members here do have at least some of the training tools to complement or to augment what we are doing through their offices, constituency offices. So I don't get it very, except when we visit any particular school in terms of its curriculum, then we hear that I'm doing this, but after that they don't know really where to go, how to access that information, bursaries and so on. So that's why I'm talking of advocacy. I would want the department to up that. I know they do have a media person who is also in the department. But it should be beyond your four walls, so that we understand what we are doing. And I appreciate the expo programs that we had. Last time I had, when I was not in this committee, we did have an expo, a career exhibition for the grade 11 and 12 in my own constituency, which was attended
by minimum more than 3,000 learners. So I'm come closer to the party to understand and forge some partnership with ourselves when we do conscious work, qualitatively so, so that our learners do understand what they are doing. The 8 World Heritage Sites. I want to hear more about that because I was trying to learn very fast on 4 sites of which were mentioned to you. Can I get more clarity on that one? You see, on that first part, the issue that I raised, there should be, the rural areas should be assisted in accessing that because there's a lot of issues that are projects that are made by the rural communities in trying to attract the tourists, but I don't think they get the necessarily what you call exposure to that, except those that are established. I want to hear from those that are informal. Yes, let us speak of informal business people, how do they get leverage to be known and access your products. Just as in my last point, as of now, I appreciate the partnership that the department has entered or is doing with the Umalus, because I think that is a very strategic partnership in as far as the department is concerned. But what I would want to hear more, because we are coming from different provinces, and everyone here would speak for his or her province in terms of your impact. I'm not getting a strong impact in terms of the 9 provinces that we're having that ultimately made South Africa. And I know that we're not a federal state or a unitary state, but can we get more of a sense in terms of the breakdown in provinces where are the strengths for tourists in this country? And I would assume that you relate strongly with the Department of Transport, because whatever you do, you will have to bounce with the Department of Transport of moving people from one area to another. So I would want to get a sense, because I know, well, rural people are always disadvantaged in terms of the mobility, especially when it comes to flights. Flights are made for the well-off. But from the rural point of view, they would be always used by people, planes. The issue of promoting local tourism, I think we should place more emphasis on that, because it has declined at a local level, especially from rural areas where there are no roads, very poor. How do you interact with those sub-departments in improving tourism, your strategy? Because we need to appreciate the future person.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Elder van Lingen, and I am a returning member. I'm not an old member. And I want to say to Ambassador Makubela, it's good to have you back with us, and all the faces that we learned to know over the last 5 years. And there's many things in this whole presentation that has come to fruition since our participation over the last 5 years and our mutual communication and eventually getting to the same targets. What concerns me a bit is that the tourism stats have come down in the last while, and if we could be given the reasons why. Then another thing that interests me, really, I thought that one international tourist created 11 jobs, and it now seems as though people talk about 7 or 8 jobs. Is it the wages that increased, or is it the tourism industry that has gone down? Then, when it comes to the legislation, I'm sure we're going to do an amendment in the next while, as you know. What concerns me is the risk management. Miss Bengu, you skipped a risk. you left the Minister of Home Affairs out of your risk factor. He must be included. What I do mean here is that other departments do have an influence, and ministers go to cabinet meetings, and they should sort things like this out. It should not happen at all. Well, and then Chairperson, why are we on ministers and cabinets and what have you? We're only calling for one minister on a particular week, and we can either start at 7 o'clock or the minister can meet us a bit later, but we've got to make a plan. But Minister Davies has been very good in the past to attend our meetings. But you must not stand back just because he's politically superior. Then Mr. van Schalkwyk, what interests me is the complaint section. How many complaints have we had, and how would you categorize them, or what can we do about it? Your PDMS, where you say you have 100% target. Now, do you do weighted targets? Or is it a comfort zone, or is it a stretch target? We prefer stretch targets so that you can work a bit harder and get there. Then on slide 23, you spoke about 79%, and that's why I interrupted you as 97%. But it's an Afrikaans glitzy, so it is okay. You're the mal on far. When it comes to slide 28, selection training at local municipalities, we agree that we fought for this for a long time, and we want, do you remember we said we wanted people to work there in terms of the EPWP and maybe like your chefs that you train and so on. It is very important that the LTOs are involved there, and that those that you train are not just sorted out by the municipality and given jobs so that it is a one-party job creation thing, that it is somebody that will develop and continue in the tourism trade. I also would like to know how you're going to do the funding on that one. I see that you talk about provincial parks and parks under local government level somewhere. I have now lost it. Page 35, facilities within municipal parks. It is a concern how local municipalities are not doing their environmental thing, because to them it's not a core function. And I know you're not involved with the environmental issue, but certainly you are with the tourism issue. And I think in the provinces it becomes economic development, environmental affairs and tourism is sort of one portfolio. You can shoot me if I've got it the wrong way around. I want to know your tourism sector codes, if you're going to perhaps come back to us on that and explain how far and how ready and what the pros and cons and risks are. And then when it comes to the heritage sites, I agree with my colleague, we need to know where all the sites are and what is happening around those sites. How can we assist the local communities or the provinces to expand on tourism around those sites? When it comes to the division of the north and the south, I am a little bit concerned that the Free State is more south than KZN. I would say that if you want to go that way, then you would make it the four coastal provinces and the others that are not coastal, because the coastal provinces have similarities and tourism in the same thing, where they have beaches and they have airports and the routes are more or less the same, and the same things affect them. I need a bit of a guidance on your divisions. The Umalusi curricula that you're working on, thank you, congratulations. It's a wonderful step forward, and I'm really very proud of you, because for once we will standardize what comes out on the other end. And I think that for the time being is sufficient. I would like on the last slide on social responsibility implementation, slide 63. I would like to know more about that. And you don't have to give it to me today. If you can send it to our committee secretary, I would be most grateful. Because we need the facts on the projects that you're using, because that's quite a bit of money that's going out, and we need to know where it's going to, which province, and where those projects are, so that we can also know about them if they are in our areas and things are not happening the way we would like our committee or our tourism department to be reflected. We can report the things directly to you. And that chairperson is wonderful, thank you.
Okay, we want to give them an opportunity to respond still. So let's take the third hand, which was Honorable Tebe.
If you all ask our questions, then they can have responding right.
I'm not sure. I see there's a hand shaken there, sorry, a head, but I'm more interested in the head on your right. And don't exercise the diplomacy here.
No, Chairperson, I always find it very useful to have an interaction with honorable members. You will realize later on that the questions you send sometimes are very cold. You don't get the details about it. So this interaction, it also informs us about the sensitivity, things we need to look for. So we're going to lose on your contribution. We're going to lose on tapping into your brains in some of those things, because you give it some constituencies and you provide a feedback to us. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, can I propose a rule on that one? My proposal is that the department would have to come back to us quite soon, because we have these continuous meetings of the committee. My role would therefore be that what you do today is to look at those questions that you consider to be the most important and address them. We all have written down some of our questions, and then if we cannot manage all of them, we will take some other time to do that. But at least then, for today, we are preparing for the budget vote, which is next week, and it's important that we go to that session in the NCOP without any ghosts in the cupboard. Honorable Tele.
Thank you so much, Chair. My name is Bimoto, my surname is Tele. I'm from the Northwest. And Jay, I'm going to, through you, assume that I have a guaranteed right to speak, because I'm only going to raise clarification question. And I'll have follow-ups thereafter. But you can then give me direction on such. Jay, the presentation spoke about empowerment, and I would assume that he's trying to bring an element of the NDP in terms of the inclusive growth, but it also talks about training, development, and skills. But what are the realities at play, DJ? The realities at play is that if you want to zoom into the tourism industry and your hospitality and all that, you will find that the majority of the people who are working there, you cannot even transfer skills into them. Because more often than not, they are not registered, they are not documented, they are not South Africans. Go to any
hospitality industry market into, just go out and try to have lunch and see what is going to happen. And I think this is one of the things that the report does not appreciate and say, what is it that we are going to be doing moving forward? And that's my clarity. If you are going to have inclusive growth in line with what the NDP seeks to achieve, how do we ensure that such an important aspect of the NDP find expression on the ordinary people on the ground, on the young people of this country moving forward? But I think it is also going to have synergies with slide 6 on page 5, 6 to 2. If you go to slide 7 on page 4, or maybe before we go there, check on slide 5. I'm not sure, DG, if I'm having the same document that you have. Slide 5 on page 3. Number 3 on top speak about international tourism management. And it says there's no, there's none so far. Does it mean that part of the process moving forward is to make sure that there is one now? And if there's none now, what is it that the department is using presently? If you go to slide 11 on page 6, talks about non-compliance with the tourism guiding legislation and regulation. I think this, I'm going to be linking it, Jack, through you later on, to what Honorable Fandinga was raising, the issues of the current discussion now about sections of our own society raising discomfort about the current configurations that are going on in the Home Affairs, knowing that you are linking very well with that. And if you go to page 20, slide 39, We are talking about market penetration. We are talking about, and these are clear-cut objectives that the department seeks to achieve. How does it also link to this issue of the Home Affairs moving forward? How does it link to people who are coming into the country, reporting themselves to be tourists, but when they are inside the country, they don't want to leave and they take the department to court and they do this? Some are engaged in criminal activities. So how does Home Affairs link with what the tourism industry seeks to open up for market to flourish, but also to make sure that legislations and laws are being adhered to? Incentives. Who are we incentivizing? And what sort of incentives do we speak to? And if we are talking about issues that are going to be captured by the recently formed ministry under Minister Lindiwe Zulu. Because we know that in some of the departments that we have interacted with, they are already going to be shifting some of the responsibilities to that department. Is this part of the responsibility that you are going to be shifting, or is it going to remain with you? And what is the local content that you want to achieve as the department? How do we move? Look, I'm from the Northwest. We don't have the sea, but we have the Big Five. What is the department doing to make sure that interventions are put into place to make sure that we can tap into the resources that we don't have from KwaZulu-Natal, but KwaZulu-Natal can tap into the Northwest resources that they don't have? Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, FSM, and let me join my colleagues by welcoming the presentation from the department. Honorable Ntere, I really agree with you.
I was speaking on your behalf.
Yeah, as I heard you. So, when there's no sea, they must make sure that they use whatever we have so that our people can then be helped at the end of the day. I want to accept the apology.
up to you to introduce yourself, please.
Oh, my apologies, Chairperson, but they know me. I have been here and I am also a returning member, but there's no problem, or the department won't be sinning if they say I'm an old member, because I'm not like the new ones that have just arrived. I am Mrs. Dikhale. My name is Clara Masopak. I'm from Limpopo province. I was saying I want to accept the apology from our two ministers, the minister and the deputy minister. I know that normally they will act as the department describes themselves, as they will always tell us that they show respect to the committee, and if they are not here, it doesn't mean they don't respect the committee. I know it's a commitment, but that does not promote that you must always come alone here without them. But today we accept the apology. I have heard Mama saying they're going to create 4,000 jobs, but then my question is, are the jobs permanent? Or are they those that sometimes end up frustrating ordinary people in our country? Sometimes we'll have the, for example, if I give an example of the EPWP program, you find that people will be happy that, hey, we're going to work, we get this and this. And then at the end of the day, after 7 months, they get frustration. So I just want to know if ever these are permanent. And again, I've heard that the department is going to work with the provinces and the municipalities. I just want to know, or maybe they should come here to us and tell us about the grants that they're going to give to boost our municipalities and the provinces. And on slide number 5, when we check on the departmental plans policy initiatives, number 1, number 3, number 4, it shows that there's no planned policy initiatives, and then that now takes us back to how the department describes themselves, their values and the description, how will then testify to this one if ever there's no planned policy initiatives on the international tourism management, domestic tourism management, and also number 1 under the administrative chief operations. Lastly, Chairperson, allow me to say the department must know that even this term, they will continue to have our positive, how can I put it, positive, yeah. So you have our positive support. Even now, I can really say we support and we consider the annual performance plan. If maybe I'm going to be one of those who will be debating, you know that I'll be supporting this budget vote. Thank you.
I have just made an interesting observation about a group dynamic here. That the people who have to leave are the ones who were first to raise their questions, which is good. But part of what we've learned in tourism is to be polite, to be true to our culture. And part of that culture is that you consider it un-African to raise a question and then get up and go before the question is answered. But we appreciate full well that the colleagues have to leave. It's circumstances beyond our control. However, I wanted them to be here when we say this word of thanks to the colleagues from the department, and also want them to know that when they leave, we're not closing this meeting. There's some of us that will be staying here. I think it's three that's leaving, so four of us would still be here. And therefore, we will maximize also the time that you have so generously made available so that we engage in further conversation with the colleagues that remain. Thank you. So, with your permission, colleagues from the department, we want to, on behalf of the colleagues that have to leave now, render an apology as we, in the same breath, also say that you see what we have let ourselves in for. We are very interested in what's happening in this department and therefore need to accommodate the questions, but then, as we have agreed before earlier, would make some other time that is mutually convenient for this conversation to continue with the full select committee. So it's just some that's leaving now. Now we are a fully sexist select committee. No, you've gone. I noticed two hands. PG, can you and I look at each other and say that what we're going to do is not to try and answer the questions that have been raised now, because most of those who posed the questions are not here. And the phase that we go into now, we would be able then to also request you to particularly look at answering those kind of questions or comments that are being made now. Let's start with our whip of the committee.
Thanks, Chair. My name is George Ntimunye. I come from Mpumalanga, a small village called Tembeletu. I don't know what the practice has been, but my thinking or my suggestion would have been, if a legislative report on the previous strategic plan would come maybe at the same time with the strategic plan for the following year, it would be easier for us to understand how far the department have gone in terms of the previous term for the previous financial year, and be able to comprehend properly what then is planned for the financial year ensuing. I don't know what the previous practice has been, but I would have thought it would be assisting us in understanding better the trend and the progress made. Can the department share with us, for the purposes of the debate next week, how many international tourists do we have in the country in the current conjuncture, and how many domestic? Is the figure going down or up? If it's going down or up, what are the reasons in your understanding? The overall contribution, I know one member has made reference to that, the overall contribution of tourism as a sector in the national economy and job creation in general. What is your understanding of that and what is your take? Yeah, those are three questions that I wanted to say. Otherwise, I would be repeating what the other members have said. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Eunice Vauda. I'm from Pumalanga, from Barberton, and I'm with the EFF. I greet all of you with Assalamu Alaikum. I'm concerned a little bit about the division. I see you guys speak about the international tourist, and then you speak about the domestic tourist. I would prefer that you divide it in the future, or think about in these lines of speaking about an international tourist, and then a national tourist, and then the local tourist. And Honorable Sukha mentioned that in passing, the local tourist being the person from the surrounding areas. You know, we come from rural areas, and we are looking at the visitor, the people that come from the farming communities as well as from the surrounding former homeland areas and so forth. For example, the old lady who comes in with her little baby into town, what are we doing to cater for her? And I'm thinking specifically about tourist information or visitor information. And that brings me to my next point. I noticed that you guys are speaking mostly about a tourist. I'm presuming that you're talking about the holiday maker. And really, I think the most number of visitors that come into South Africa are actually not holiday makers, but they're people who come here for business reasons. Johannesburg is actually the city that brings in most of the visitors, not Cape Town, Sun City, and Kruger National Park. It's actually Johannesburg. What are we doing to target this visitor? Especially because we must remember, when he comes here on business, there's a good chance that he's going to come back with his family 3 months or 6 months later on a holiday. And then he brings more people with him, and they spend more money. Obviously, when one tourist creating 7 jobs or 20 jobs, it's actually not like that. It depends on what the tourist spends in the country. That is what will create the jobs, rather than one tourist creating. So this, I think that's a bit of a fallacy. With regard to information, etc., I did not hear much coming out, and I'm going to take this example. When I was a student in the 1970s and I visited London, you just cannot get lost in London, even if you tried. Now in South Africa, and I'm going to share this with you guys, myself and one of my colleagues, when we arrived here about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and we were driving around from Parliament to Acacia. Oh my word, it took us 3 hours, okay? That's okay, included our shopping, okay? Don't be too bad, okay? It included the shopping that was about an hour or so. But we struggled to find our way from here to Acacia. Signage in South Africa is very poor. And if we want to encourage the international tourists to come here, it's got to be super easy for the guy. And we're not talking only about the gadgets that we are using now, we call them the navigator and so on, but we're talking of other issues as well. So we need to look at directions, information, and support. And I'm speaking across the board now, and I'm trying to be brief, but I'm taking a long time about it, Chairperson, but I'm trying to be as brief as possible. When we talk of directions, information, but also support, in the sense that when the old lady comes into the town, what are we doing about providing information to her? You know, where is the doctor, where is the pharmacist, where does she find the cafe where she can buy some food and things like that. I'm talking down at grassroots level. You know where my heart lies. I said to you guys I'm EFF, so don't have any doubts about it. And it's not that I'm passionate about this. Okay, if you want to know about my passions, ask my girlfriend. I was wondering if you guys are going to laugh before I was finished. Okay. I want to just mention one more issue, guys, and this is the issue about the halal tourists. And my colleague at the back helped me with this information. I did hear something that in 2011 and 2012, $30 billion was spent internationally on the so-called halal tourists. We're talking of the people coming from Muslim countries, that is, from the Middle East. We're talking of North Africa. We're talking Central Africa. Nigeria is a bigger economy than us now. I know it's hurting us, but it doesn't matter. Let's exploit that situation. Let us invite this. It's predominantly a Muslim country. Halal tourists, and we have a very dynamic Muslim population who can provide for the religious as well as cuisine requirements of the people coming from there. And I'm not going to stop there, because it's not only about the halal tourists, there are, I think, I'm subject to correction now, you can help me with this one as well, our research consultant here. But people that leave the shores of India, it's something like, I think, is it 100 million per annum that leave the shores of India? Now, India, again, it's they require special arrangements for food because they're vegetarians and that kind of thing. So we need to target that market as well. And people coming from these countries absolutely love South Africa, and I'm afraid it's not so much for Cape Town. It's actually Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga is the most beautiful province. Cape Town is a very close second. So I've heard you guys are there. But if they come for the Kruger National Park, they love the Kruger National Park. And I'm just going to share this very briefly, Chairperson. I remember once going into a Wimpy in Sabi, and there was a group of these Indian kids there. You can't call them kids, they were in their 20s and 30s. And they were looking for chai. And I don't know if you guys know what is chai. Chai is a special kind of tea where you mix the milk and the water and you brew it and you add the tea. And it's really like, you know, you must try chai sometime. Eh? And these kids were trying to explain, I was kind of amused, since I'm sharing with you. They were trying to explain to the guys on the other side, you know, that how to make the chai. So I told the guys, listen, these people look like good guys. Take the two of them, you know, to sit and make their chai and enjoy themselves. The point I'm trying to make is, this: they were in South Africa for about 2 weeks. They had never eaten any curry, and they were missing their samosas and rotis and things like that. We need to target these guys because they're going to bring in, and we do have the population, we have the facilities, so let's do something to advertise that and that way. So, Chairperson, my long period is over now. Thank you very much.
I'm going to give over to the colleagues from DTI to respond to those two questions. But just, sorry, sorry, I just had to go back to the minister for our sitting next week. So it's been.
You see, Honourable Bata, when you use these words, like chai, you have to be careful when you're talking to an ambassador that may have worked in Tanzania or Kenya, because there chai means a bribe. Let's give over to the colleagues of tourism. I have some questions as well, so I didn't want to take us beyond 12. So you finish beyond 12, then I'll just raise my 2-3 questions too.
Chair, thank you very much, Chair. Other colleagues would come in here. You know, Chair, the PD, the two members who were the returning members are not here. We made an appeal both to the National Assembly and to the NGOP that as we deal with projects with respect to EPWP, they must deal with poverty alleviation. And I'm going to make the same appeal to honorable members here. That we take out our political bias and our constituency driven thing. The poverty in South Africa has no political limit, has no constituency limit. That the beauty of a democracy is that we all have the right to choose who must govern us. But the one who wins has the responsibility even to cater for us who did not vote for that person. That's what one British diplomat defines the beauty of democracy. So we want to look at ourselves as a public servant, and we want to deal with issues of poverty with respect to the entire South African population. And therefore, the EPWP project, we would like to appeal to honorable members that they stay out of the political domain. You get your oversight, you look at the impact, what difference it makes, then we'll be able to achieve some progress. That's the request that I'm making again once more to this committee. Having said that, Chairperson, the assertion, and it's very interesting for me, Chairperson, it's good to see new members. I came in 2010. People were no longer new members. They were already here. there are definitional issues that we're all striving with, but later on we're going to get them right. There's a definition of a domestic and an international tourism. It's a universal standard that is used. And there are definitions in terms of who constitutes a tourist. I've been here since yesterday, I'm leaving tomorrow, I'm going to be a domestic tourist. You have to spend 48 hours overnight here, but you must be about 48 kilometers from where you stay, where you permanently reside. And these are definitions that are drawn by the UNWTO and are used universally. So you have the domestic and the international tourist. The international tourist is anyone who comes outside our borders. They are regarded as international tourists. But also within the tourist, there's the tourist definition, you have both the leisure tourist and the business tourist. So people who come here for conference, we regard them as business tourists. But the leisure tourists are people who are coming here for fun. That's why you would find that the concept that people usually say that it's good to mix leisure and business, it comes from those definitions that once you are on business, you can have a little bit of leisure. It's a common terminology that is used very often. Now, these are standard definitions, Honorable Father, and I must say best wishes on the Ramadan. I hope you're holding on, you know. So, these are basic definitions that we are all using. And I understand we may have our own definitions. And these definitions, you will see, they are reflected in the South Africa figures. We have what we call the tourism satellite account at FAT. And that tourism satellite account is what we base ourselves on. It's a government instrument. It's very independent from us as a department. It measures the contribution of tourism and it helps to inform us. Now, the question that was raised again with respect to the decline of international tourism and so on, we have in the past insisted, we've been looking at, for quite some time, we're looking at arrivals. Now, the arrivals that we have are not necessarily tourists. You get people who are on transit here. They arrive at World Tango, they go and have tea, and they leave after 4 hours, they connect. Those are regarded as arrivals. They are not necessarily tourists. If I come from Joburg, I come for the committee meeting here, and I leave same day, I'm not regarded as a tourist. So, you know, those kind of definitions. So we're trying to clean up to focus on a definition of a tourist. Now, and we're trying to work on this tourist. We required about 3 years to move away from that. That's why you see, if you look at the latest stats South Africa, you see the number of arrivals in South Africa is 13 million, and the number of international arrivals in this, international tourists in this country is about 9 million. And yet 13 million is a higher number because of the arrival. In the past, I must say, SHG has been South African tourists, they've been a bit naughty. They kept on playing these numbers across without explaining the details to anyone. Each time a higher number comes up, they would play around that number. 2 years ago, we insisted to the former minister that they need to start working on tourists because they are core funding is tourists. It's not arrival. Arrival is home affairs that collect international arrival. So they need to work on tourists because that's what they are measured on. We are now migrating to the specific definition of tourists, and that's why you would see. Now, the numbers, in terms of the arrival, I would encourage also members, during your leisure, look at the tourism satellite account. It gives you the last, of course, it always comes about a year behind and so on, but it gives you a true reflection of how is the industry doing. What are the number of trips that we are making as South Africans? It gives you the view in terms of what is the contribution of the domestic tourism and international tourism. The domestic tourism remains a bit higher in terms of the last statistics. The domestic tourism contributed 105 billion rand. Yet, the international tourism, I think, was about 98 billion rand.
And yet if you look at the amount of work that we do in the domestic tourism, it's none. And if you look at the number of the trips that are being made in the country, they are declining even though the spend is high. So there's a decline in terms of the number of trips that we make. And that's why we are placing more emphasis. You realize during the next financial year when we interact with you after our budget review and after our new strategy, you're going to realize that we're going to spend 100 million rands next year to do domestic marketing because we think that's where we need to cushion ourselves. If you move around, you'll find most of the facilities around the country going to lodges. They invite people each time, workers each time they are functioning there. So you get a lot of casual workers, and there's no job security for this. I've seen it myself. We've gone around the department. Now, if you strengthen the domestic tourism part, you're going to get those people permanently employed because the lodges will be active. They'll have some people. We need to do a lot of marketing. We're doing a lot of international marketing. SAT has close to 1.1 billion rand that they do marketing. And most of this money, they spend about 28 million rand in the domestic space doing marketing. That's why we are able to get good numbers. So we're going to do the domestic marketing. That's why we are saying to SAT, we're going to ring-fence the money we're giving them. And we hope as we do the chairperson, the private sector will come and do their product marketing. We don't have to, as a country, always go for holidays during the festive. You get better value even now, but that needs to be taken to the consumers. There needs to do proper marketing. So that's where we are working on, and we hope we'll be able to turn the corner with respect to this focus marketing. Treasury has been very kind to give us this 100 million, and we're going to spend it in terms of the domestic marketing next year. Now, there were some key questions raised, and I thought, Chairperson, maybe it would be useful for us to explain this. Now, if you look at this strategic plan, that there are no policy initiatives that we intend to come up with next year. As a collective management, we realized some time ago that the tendency each time we identify a problem, we want to develop a strategy or we want to develop a policy to deal with that. And yet the policies and strategies that we are having as a department, they are sufficient to deal with any challenges. Now, the ones that you would see there related to tourist guides and so on is because of the new act. It requires that we come up with policies to align these policies with the new act. But with respect to other units, there's no need, the domestic and international, there's no need for new policies, new strategies, because you run into a fatigue of developing a strategy. Each time you have a problem of people who come late at work, you develop a policy for latecomers. You can't do that. There are certain guidelines that you need to implement. I think we have sufficient policies to handle some of these things, and we need to focus on implementation. We will focus on implementation. We'll then look at the impact. If there is an impact that needs to develop a new policy to deal with the dynamics, because it's an evolving situation, we will deal with that. That's where you see this, and there are no new policies during the course of this financial year. But we are also cognizant that we have a new political principle. The minister may want certain things to change, to reflect some of the things that he needs to do. We will do that during this midterm review in October, and we'll reflect on these new changes and plan for them for the next financial year. Because part of the problem for us, all of us in government, I've been in government, I think, for now 20 years, Eric will say it's less than what the years that he's been here. The challenge of developing policies, developing strategies, we reach fatigue, actually, because we're quite good in developing that. We don't focus on implementation and deal with problems related to implementation. This is what we're trying to do in terms of that. Now, it doesn't mean that if there are new imperatives, we will not adjust to realign ourselves to that, but we're trying to manage this question of developing perpetual policies. Now, the World Heritage Sites, I must say also, and I'll request my colleagues here to give a DVD to Honorable Members Mrumo, if you can. We've developed a whole DVD on the new, on the World Heritage Sites. There are about 8 of them. And this DVD is intended to market. We're marketing it outside
The idea was also to give it to our missions abroad to have it on their website, so that when people get on the South African website, they will look at the cultural and heritage, they'll come across the heritage site for the purpose of study, because you get tourists who come essentially to come and study and look at these issues. So we need to put those ones. But we realize we don't have, Honorable Badwa, you're quite right, our signage in the country is terrible. Now, we've identified the problem of signage at this World Heritage Site, and we're working on that. But they're not our core business. But we need to direct tourists to this area. We are working very well with the Department of Arts and Culture, with entities responsible for the control. There is an understanding that we can make a contribution in terms of signage. So we're going to work on the signage. There's one small town that is the best signage. I don't know if you've been to determine or been Zanin. If you go to Zanin, the signage in town is the best. I got lost one time in the middle of the night looking for a hotel. I actually followed the signage until I found the hotel where I needed to spend the night. I arrived there about 2 o'clock in the morning. But later on, I realized that small town, smaller cities, the signage is the best. But it's a drop in the ocean if you look in most areas. Some of the signage, they are very old. You find, you go now to Pretoria, there are new roads. You find that they are still in the old names. Some of them, they are old names, they are new names. Exactly, some of them. But you go to GPS, you go to systems, you find the old names. And yet, changing the system, even changing things in Google, people could do that to ensure that you have up-to-date. That was part of our challenge during the World Cup. The name changes and so on. You remember that people are going to get confused. But we haven't finalized this issue in terms of them. But it's an area that we've identified that we need to make a contribution in it. I think my colleagues will come on some of those things. Now, if you see the complaints in the new Act, we recognize that you have an ombudsman in the country who deals with all consumer-related issues. But we realize that as a department, we cannot only rely on the ombudsman, because the manner in which ombudsman would prioritize this complaint may have a negative impact on us, because tourists, they don't stay here permanently. They leave. They leave with a negative image that I made a complaint and nothing was done. So we developed in the new Act that we need to have a complaint officer within the department. We'll ensure that these things are taken to the ombudsman and they're acted on, the consumer ombudsman. But we focus on ensuring that things are done and feedbacks are given to tourists, because the word of mouth is much stronger for all of us. That's why you see that in the Act. It's the new Act that we're just employing. I think we just employed somebody who's going to deal with that, because the new Act came into effect just recently. My other colleagues will respond to some of the questions. I am aware, Chair, that we won't be able to respond to all of them. May I also really beg your indulgence that with respect to the challenge we're seeing with Home Affairs, we wait for the process that is coming up. I'm seeing the DG of Home Affairs next week. We have an MOU. The Minister is going to have a discussion with the Minister of Home Affairs to precisely deal with the problems that we're finding. As we were announcing our own arrangements, our own new Home Affairs regulations, France decided to go against the whole Schengen and give free entry visas to Indian citizens. If they want to go to France, they no longer require a visa. They can go in. And France belongs to the Schengen. And now to move out of that is a huge challenge. But I think France identified its own national interest. So we are in the process of having this discussion. I don't want to preempt some of the issues that we want to raise. We have concerns. The sector has raised concerns with the Minister. And the Minister is going to have a discussion with his colleague on this. The Minister of Home Affairs did indicate that the door is still ajar. He would interact with his counterparts, so we will see what are the negative consequences that we identify in terms of the Act. My other colleagues, Chairperson, with your permission, they can come in on some of the issues. I know the questions are so many, but colleagues can come in at any given moment. Who wants to start? Anyone?
Thank you very much. Can we just get an indication how many of the colleagues from the department would want to make additional contributions? I see two hands. Okay, that's it, the two of you, and that's it, please.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. There was a question with regards to the BEE
cause alignment with the generic cause of good practice from TCI. The process, obviously, that we will come and make a proper presentation on the details of such. But we are already in the process where we would be able to start those types of consultations, as the policy minister has already looked at it. The other question related to the municipal parks, the research that we're doing with regards to the municipal parks, and one of the honorable members that has already left wanted to know whether this would include environmental related issues. Honorable Chairperson, it will not include any environmental related issues. What we are looking at is within that particular park, is for tourism facilities. Are these facilities being employed? Are they actually generating any return and so on? In an attempt to see what could be the challenges that that particular park is experiencing, or what are the best practices that it may have which other parks may actually want to look at and get better understanding of how these things will best work. The last one I would also like to provide some clarity on was a question with regards to training for local municipalities, for municipalities in general. What I would say is the issue here, the proposition was it should also include local associations. The focus at the moment, Honorable Chairperson, is on municipalities. So we are looking at people that are already employed, that are working in a municipality that's required to enhance their capacity to be able to service the tourism mandate better. And then we are also dealing with, we are also providing the same, not exact content, but training to policy makers, to the councillors that are responsible for this function. So the municipalities are the ones that would say, this is our MMC for this. They are the ones that would say, these are the people that sit in that tourism committee. They are the ones that would say, this is the tourism officer that we've got. Those are the people that we are training. We do this training through a university standard in this sort of tutorial. Thus far, we've gone through over 60 municipalities with this particular training. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. The question was on the 4,000 jobs, if they are permanent or not. On page 25, it indicated that it's full-time equivalent, so they are not permanent jobs. These are the jobs that are being facilitated by our partnership with the Tourism Enterprise Program. The other question, just to add on what the DG has said on the World Heritage Sites, we do have strategies, the rural strategy, the rural tourism strategy, as well as the culture and heritage. The project on World Heritage Sites is stemming out of these strategies that we have come up with, so we are currently implementing those. On the incentives, the question was, who are we incentivizing and what are the areas that we are focusing on? We do have a criteria which looks into the entities that we are going to incentivize in terms of, are they South African based, are they registered, what is their revenue? We have the established as well as the imaging. On the imaging, we are saying it should be establishments which are 1 year old with a revenue less than a million. And on the established is 3 years, and it's above, in terms of revenue, above a million. And they won't be going to the same exhibition. If it's international, they're only going to give support to the established because already they do have, they are export ready to capitalize on that. And on the imaging, we'll be giving them support in terms of training as well as mentoring them so that they are ready as well to be export ready. Thank you, sir.
Please. Chair, sorry, there's one thing I don't know. I'm trying to, I know these are all my bosses, so I'm trying to find a better terminology to deal with this thing. But there's a huge problem that, for
operating infrastructure, particularly the municipality and local government infrastructure, is bad. If you go to Kruger National Park, you move out of Palabora, you go and take the road that takes you to when you take that road, it's going to lead you to Mpumalanga. The road is so bad. It's a former tarred road. As I was driving, I could see dust coming. There are little patches of tarred roads than the actual thing. But if you look at the money that the National Treasurer spent, and that's on the part of Limpopo, the National Treasurer took from Limpopo 1.5 billion rand intended for road refurbishment. They send it back. If you go, say in Limpopo, you drive from Makalo towards Chakuma, the road is disappearing too. You drive on the road that links, I think, the Free State and R74. There are certain facilities that have been shut down because the road is just disappearing. It's no longer accessible. Now, I was in Mafeking, and Victor will tell you, towards the end of last year, we had a meeting in Mafeking. There was a huge pothole on Nelson Mandela Road. We had a meeting with MECs and some officials there. We were actually told there was a cartoon of the MEC of Public Works fishing from the pothole. That pothole, I'm told it got fixed now, late. It was a huge pothole in the middle of the road. Now, these are basically symptoms of what is going on. If you drive now, I live on the side of the Northwest Chairperson at Hartbeespoort, but I'm on the Northwest side. The whole Hartbeespoort area, it caters for 100,000 tourists per month, people who visit the area. But if you look at the road infrastructure from the main hub, the source for that is always Joburg. People go there for weekends, they use facilities, there are a lot of facilities around there. But the road infrastructure is deteriorating. Sunrail is taking a provisional road, the R511. If you drive from this route, they are fixing that road. They've been fixing it close to 2 years now. There's nothing that is going on. But if you look at the infrastructure around the area, if we don't put the money to basically to basic maintenance, in the next 2 years, you're going to see that decline because people will not drive in that area again. Now, these are the problems that we need to deal with. I know they are not my area of competency. But if you go around, I've gone around the country, Chairperson, it's really pathetic what's going on. And you go and look at the allocation for road infrastructure, refurbishment, at the national level and provincial level, and local level, you ask yourself, where is this money going? Because the money is not showing. The results are not showing. Now, this is the problem, and I think you have a unique role to identify these issues, because this tourism actually, it so much depends on the infrastructure. The infrastructure is the oxygen that breathes life into tourism. Without that, we finish. We can spend the 100 million rand advertising, doing everything, but if people cannot move on our infrastructure, we are finished as a country. So I think you sit in a comfortable position to do your oversight in terms of the work that is required in this respect and understanding the importance of the road infrastructure. Mind you, as the road infrastructure is the oxygen that breathes life into tourism. Without that, we're all finished. Domestic tourism is the type dream that we're talking about. The problem that you're talking about, my colleagues will tell you, everywhere, every province is not exempt. It's a big problem. We need to fix it. Because the money is there. I don't know where is the money going. I don't want to debate where the money is going, but it goes somewhere. So it's an issue that I think at the political level you need to provide that leadership. It will be very useful. That's my plea. Thank you very much.
Good. Thanks very much to the colleagues in the department. Allow me, before we adjourn, to just make three comments that I hope is going to be helpful. The first is to say there is a general acceptance by all members of Parliament that there is a need for us to look at how we have a better impact on the needs of our people. Some leaders would call it the need for us to become activists, an activist parliament. Some leaders would may want to use other terms, but this is the essence is that we recognize the point that you have correctly made earlier on, Diki, that it's not the processing of policies and laws and amendments and regulations. People want to see after 20 years that democracy benefits them. And that is a general accepted rule, point one. Point two is that all of us in the NCOP are accountable to our provincial legislatures. And you therefore have an opportunity to engage us on issues that relates to the provincial legislators. And we will also ensure that we engage you so that those provinces that we are coming from would have a better relationship with the different departments of government. The final point that I want to make is to say that this committee, this Select Committee here, is a meeting with you, is not an end in itself. We consider it as part of a process. And we therefore agree that we explore, maybe with your with the Office of the Director General PLO here with Pietra, the possibility of how exactly, what mechanism do we have so that we can have this continuous engagement. Now we know that when it comes to accountability, you have your minister and you have your DG and things like that. So we're not trying to get involved in that. What we are saying is that let's, if we are activists, look at other ways with due respect for the structures that are there. Find creative ways in which we can improve our communication and engagement. The B part of that point is informed by the fact that these very same members that you have in the Select Committee on Trade and International Relations are also the Select Committee on Economics. When you talk about transport, we had a briefing earlier this week with transport. And they gave us a huge fact. We sat here until late working with them. So we can, where it is possible, also then, from our constitutional engagement with transport, look at some of the points that you are raising. But there are other departments, and I'm not going to go through all of them now, but I think in economic relations we have four. In six. Mama? Six in economic relations. And we have the very same people of the Economic Relations Select Committee also serving on this Select Committee. And in this Select Committee, we have three departments. I'm not counting international relations. But I've just been on the virtual space now with the minister in DTI, where the minister in DTI is saying, but no, when we read our budget vote in the NCOP next week, we must also have the Minister of Small Business reading that. Now, this comes from the Minister of DTI. And
let us not forget, I think it has been mentioned by many of the honorable members here, that we have the small business portfolio now being led by Minister Zulu. And it's going to be important that we look at how we can also benefit and lift them. You see, when they say that the early bird catches the fattest worm, so if we can, as the tourism department, offer something now to that ministry, I mean, they are, with respect said, more gullible and vulnerable now than they would be after 10 years when they've established themselves. Let me then just conclude and say that we value very much the information that you have shared with us, and we now feel almost equipped to present the budget vote next week on the 22nd. The reason why I'm saying almost, DG, is purposely because there's just one other matter that we still have to resolve, which is whether the minister is going to be available, whether the deputy minister is going to be available. And we are still, as the select committee ourselves, in the process of just putting our speakers list ready. So we would be communicating with who's it, Chama? Do we communicate that with you? We would be communicating that with you. You don't need to answer now, but you can if you are able to.
I have communicated to the Bureau of Government Business that the Minister and the Deputy Minister is available.
Thank you very much. So that then leads me to ask the honourable members whether there would be any matter related to the budget vote logistically that you need to raise, because we may not meet at this select committee until next week, Tuesday. We will be communicating with all parties in terms of the time that you have available. I see our chief whip interrupting. Please, sorry, not our chief whip, our committee whip. Please speak.
No, that, I wanted to suggest that perhaps we release the department. Remain for 2 or 3 minutes to deal with the issue of the debate. I know the other members from the other parties will be sorted out in their party caucuses and started to meetings. But I wanted to suggest that we have 5 or 10 minutes left of this.
Whoop, you started off by 2 to 3, you ended up by 5 to 10. But you are our worker, we will honor that request. That we then say thank you to the people that participated in the conversation here. From our side, you could have most probably sensed that we are quite serious about the contribution that this department could make, enabling us to deal with the challenges that are confronting us in our beloved country at this time. Thank you very, very much.
Yeah. Now then, you see how we did it. Here is an example that he gave to us last year. Balula spoke for 20 minutes and Masatija spoke for 10. Then the chairperson spoke for 15. And then when you look at it again, there's a Balula 5 minutes and then there's Masatija 5 minutes.
But look, because this minister from the AC, the AC people should not have a problem of us sharing some of our business with the ministry from the AUC. I think we can discuss that.
But then we must be right on the horse. Let's raise this question. What is standing for the amount of time allocated? Because you see, yeah, we have had two ministries. It was 130 minutes. This is last year.
One debate.
Sure. No, it's sports and arts and culture. No. Yeah. And then the rural development and land reform. Will you have an answer for us today? And please communicate that then with our chief of with you. Because we're having a meeting tomorrow morning.
Yes.
And I need to present what you came to do now. I need to have ready for the meeting tomorrow morning. I'm more in favor of you in the minister 20 and the deputy minister 10.
Whatever you decide.
There's not for me a decision. We'll have to reach consensus in the meeting tomorrow morning.
Yes.
Because you see, from what you're saying there, if you look, for example, at the person who called the minister in the closing year, you've given that person 5 minutes. Now, I would rather have the minister speaking longer. Because the minister knows the department better.
In any case, the speaker is not a person who provides content. They respond to the opposition.
Yeah. So if we therefore then give the minister more time there, we can give the minister maybe 3-5 minutes less on top.
30 minutes should be okay.
No,
Where are you?